All right. Thank you, Sarah. Good morning, High Point. How's everyone doing this morning? It's good to see you. My name's Trevor. I'm a member here at High Point, and I'm honored to be asked to bring the word to you this morning from Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's been a while since I've been in this position, standing and delivering the message, and, you know, hopefully, I was thinking this week, man, hopefully I didn't forget how to do this. And I'm sure you're hoping that I didn't forget all my points. You know, forgetfulness is kind of a natural part of life. How many of you have, maybe even recently, looked for something that was on your person? Yeah. Yes, yes. The keys are in your pocket. Where are my keys? Glasses are on your head, etc. Right? And there's other ways that forgetfulness enters our life, whether it's, you know, forgetting our way, forgetting something that we needed to do at work, forgetting how to do something on the computer that your kid showed you over and over again, you know. But forgetfulness, it also can be a spiritual danger, right? The forgetfulness where we've gone through something and someone has been through a hard time. Maybe we think about kids at school and they were the unpopular one, they were bullied, and then later they get friends and they forget to extend that friendship to others. They forget where they came from. Or maybe you've been through something and the Lord brought you through it, or maybe there's a besetting sin in our lives that we do and we're like, man, whenever I do this, it goes wrong, it goes this way, and then the next week, you forget, and you're back in the same place again. We have a text this morning that directly addresses this kind of need of the spiritual discipline of remembrance. And so before I read that text this morning, let's open our time on a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much that we can come together and we can gather as a community to hear from your word. We thank you for Jonathan leading us to sing and praise you this morning. Prepare our hearts, Lord. I pray that as we look at these things, as we look at this through the lens of Lent and repentance, Lord, that you would just come, Holy Spirit, and open our eyes and our ears to hear your voice and how you would speak into our lives and how we should be changed and be more like you because of this. It's in your name I ask this. Amen. All right, well, open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We'll be looking at Deuteronomy chapter 8, the whole chapter today. And I'm going to read that for you. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 says, "The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing didn't wear out on you and your foot didn't swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper, and you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it's he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. This text, as you can see, has a theme of remembrance. And some background on the text here. Israel is on the other side of the Jordan. I have a slide that kind of shows the picture here. This is their second try on getting in the land of Canaan. They messed up the first time, and now the Lord has brought them on the other side. You can see they're in Beth Peor, across from Jericho, across the Jordan River. And Moses is refreshing the minds of the people on their journey and what the Lord has called them to do in his covenant with them. And in the process, what he wants them to do is remember the long and difficult road that they were on. He wants them to remember the trials, to remember the wandering, because what Deuteronomy 8 teaches us is that there is a reason that God takes his people through hard times. There are lessons that he wants us to glean from that and to hold with us all our lives, so we may walk in his ways. And so as we approach this text, I wanted to also take the lens of it being our final in the series on Lent, on the Wandering and Wondering series. And this text answers some of the wondering, some of the why behind why is God having me in this dark season? Why does he have us in these trials? And one of the ways that Lent teaches us to think about the Word of God is through the lens of repentance. Dr. Esau Macaulay, in his book on Lent, writes, "Lent, then, is about turning away from our sins and toward the living God. A season dedicated to repentance and renewal should not lead us to despair. It should cause us to praise God for his grace. Central to Lent is the idea that we need this kind of renewal consistently throughout our lives. We do not receive God's grace only when we turn to him at the beginning of our spiritual journey. God's grace meets us again and again." Now, a lot of times when we hear the word repent, we think that that's harsh and negative. But really what it is a reminder that God gives us grace and a chance to turn around. Repentance is a call of grace. It is a sign of God's goodness. And so as we think through this text through the lens of repentance today, I'm going to go through how the wilderness teaches us to repent. And what we're going to look at through the text is eight ways that the text teaches us to repent. Eight ways God is teaching us to repent through Deuteronomy 8. And as you go through that, eight ways is a lot of points. I'm going to be honest. And the reality is, in my soul, when I'm sitting in here and in a sermon that has 8 points, is that usually what you need to do is listen for how the Holy Spirit calls to your heart in one or two of those. And so as we approach those this morning, that's what I would challenge you to do, is really hone in on the one or two that the Holy Spirit is convicting and pressing into your life. Obviously, listen to all of them. But But if the Holy Spirit is really on a point saying, hey, this is you, feel free to meditate on that longer. And hopefully that's something that you can walk away from this time in the Word with that. So let's get into it, starting with the first way that Deuteronomy 8 teaches us to repent, and that is, it teaches us to repent of our self-sufficiency. Verse 2 and 3, specifically, we can look at here, and he says, you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. And then notice here, he says, that he might humble you. And then in verse 3, it says, he humbled you. And he let you hunger and fed you manna. So doubly, it focuses on the need that we have for humility. And this humility is because we need that because we think we've got it figured out. We're prideful in thinking that we can know how we can be sustained. Notice how he talks about their sustenance. He let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And we're really familiar with that second part of the scripture, right? Because Jesus quotes it. But this first part is really interesting. He really hones in on that word know, doesn't he? And you might have heard from TW in a previous sermon that this idea, this word manna, for them, literally means, what's this stuff? Rough translation. They didn't know what it was. And he zooms in on that. He fed you with manna. What is it? You didn't know, nor did your fathers know, so that he could make you know. It was a lesson for them. It was for them to learn something. Because if you think about it, he didn't have to lead them through a wilderness where they didn't have any food. And he didn't have to feed them with a food that they didn't know. He could have given them ingredients that they were familiar with. He specifically picked something that was completely foreign to what they were comfortable with. And maybe in trials for us, we find ourselves pulled out of our comfort zone, pulled out of the things that we're familiar with, in a situation that we have no resources for. And maybe no one else around us does either. And it's in those moments that God wants you to know that we don't live by the things that we're familiar with. We don't live by the bread we understand how to make already. We are sustained by the instruction, the teaching, the presence of God in our lives. And so the wilderness teaches us that we need to repent of our self-sufficiency. We need to repent of thinking we have it all figured out. Second, the wilderness teaches us we need to repent for doubting God's heart. See verses 4 and 5. It says, your clothing did not wear out on you and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. Notice he says, know then. He's saying that the fact that their clothing didn't wear out and their feet didn't swell. I mean, I would at least twist an ankle if I was out there in the wilderness for 40 years. I mean, my feet would be swollen. But the Lord protected them and the Lord brought them through. It's almost like in 1 Corinthians when Paul says, the Lord, when he gives you a trial, he's not going to give you something that is beyond what you are able to do without sinning, but he's going to give you a way through it. Why? Why was it that way for them? Because the Lord disciplines them as a man disciplines his son. Because the Lord's heart in trials is to care for us. His heart in trials is to do us good in the end. His heart in trials is to provide that way through. Sometimes it's hard to see that, isn't it? In hard times. Sometimes it's easy to lose sight of who God is and how God's in control and his love for us, and we doubt his heart. We doubt that, man, does he really have our best interests in mind? And what this text teaches us is God's heart for us is like a father to a son, like a parent to a child. He cares for us. Remember that. And when we doubt, we need to repent and instead throw ourselves on God's grace again. Trust him to carry us through and sustain us. Third way the text teaches us to repent. It calls us to repent for forgetting our trials. And that's one of the main themes of this whole section. Verse 2 tells them, you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you. That's part of this whole section is about remembering as a way to continue to walk in the commandment that the Lord has given them. And why does he need to say that? Because forgetting is natural. Remembering in this way is a spiritual exercise, and it needs the grace of the Lord to sustain it. And so many times when we just go through hard times naturally and not in prayer and not with the Holy Spirit, we just kind of survive. Have you ever gone into that? You just get into survival mode, and you're just going to make it through one day at a time. And you grit your teeth, and you're going to figure it out. And then when we get through on the other side, we've missed out on the opportunity to deepen our faith and our walk with the Lord. And so what he's calling them to here is, even though he's going to bring them out on the other side, verse 7 says, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. He's given them a reason for something. That's why he says for, and the reason he's telling them about the good land that they're about to get into is that's the reason why they need to remember. They need to remember because there are lessons in the trials that the Lord wants us to learn while we have them. And that doesn't mean there's no guarantee here that your trial is going to end in this life. I recognize that. The Israelites had that guarantee for their particular trial in this particular context. You might not. You might be dealing with something chronic. The point still is that the Lord cares for you, and there are things in that that he's wanting to deepen your faith. He's wanting to draw you close. Because the reason why those things are in your life is because he wants to be near to you. He wants to have a relationship with you. So the third way we needed to repent was for forgetting our trials. The fourth way is we need to repent for taking God's credit. We need to repent for taking God's credit. Look down at verse 12. So after they've come through this good land, he tells them again, take care lest you forget the Lord your God. And then notice the context of that forgetting in verse 12. He says, lest when you have eaten and you are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks are multiplied, everything's multiplied, then your heart be lifted up. Notice that's the opposite of the humbling he said earlier, that the Lord took them through this trial to humble them. He says, in this case, your heart will be lifted up. You'll forget the Lord your God. And then he says what they'll say. We'll skip over the little sections there where it's talking about the characteristics of God, and we'll get back to that in a second. But if you skip your eye down to verse 17, he says, beware lest you say in your heart. So this is the way their heart talks. This is what they think when they forget the Lord, when they're in this ease. My power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. How crazy is that? The Lord with a pillar of cloud and by fire, they're going to cross the Jordan River on dry land. These nations were more powerful than them. There is no way. They had no power. They were the least of all nations, chapter 9 says. But man, our hearts are deceitful, aren't they? And when you're sitting pretty on the other side of the trial and you're enjoying all the blessings that the Lord has filled your life with because he is a good God and he is kind. And our heart says, man, didn't I do good? You know, we love the bootstrap story. We love the Andrew Carnegies who can come from nothing and really work for it. But God says, there is no bootstrap story. There's what I've done. There's the way I've been faithful to you. And if we make ourselves the heroes of our own stories, what kind of thanks do we really give to the Lord in his kind providence to us for everything that we have? You know, giving thanks for a meal and for the provision of God, that's not just a rote opportunity, right? That's not just a routine. It's something that we really need to get down deep in our lives. So we need to repent for taking God's credit. Fifth thing we need to repent of, according to Deuteronomy 8, is we need to repent for forgetting what we are saved from. Let's get back to those characteristics of God. And the first one there says, if your heart's lifted up, you'll forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Man, the Lord has redeemed us. The New Testament says Jesus, for those who have put their faith and trust in him, he has delivered us out of the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. But do we remember that? Do we remember what we've come from? Do we remember that, without Christ, we're nothing. We're wicked sinners. It's about what he's done. And not only that, we need to repent for presuming on God's provision. Let's look at the other characteristics of God. So starting with salvation, which is the core, that's the cornerstone of all of God's provision. But that it doesn't stop there. Verse 15 says, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness, etc. And then look at the pair in verse 16, who brought you water right before verse 16, and then verse 16, who fed you. So he led us. And he gave us water and food, according to this. And he did this that he might humble them. You know, there are a lot of ways that God is our provider. And do we remember that? Do we reflect? This is the one that is hard for me, because I get into these spaces in my life where I just think of everything that I'm doing wrong and what's going wrong in the world and what could be better. And it's easy to get down on myself. It's easy to have a lot of negative self-talk and not remember all the good things that the Lord has done. To not remember what God is doing. To not continually have that thankful attitude. God, man, you were gracious in even just keeping me safe to church this morning. The Lord is gracious to us in 1,000 ways per hour. Do we remember and we thank him? Right? And that is a way that we can speak back to our souls that accuse us, that say that, you know, we need to be depressed and things like that. We remember who God is to us. Remember, this is the who. Who did this? Who did the Lord in his character has been our provider. Context for all of this too, in the seventh way that we need to repent is we need to repent of our idols. We need to repent of our idols. Remember the whole frame of this, verse 1. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And verse 19 says, if you forget the Lord your God, and go after other gods and serve them. This is the danger of forgetfulness. It's not just that, oh, God slipped my mind. Nature abhors a vacuum. And when we forget God, what comes in right behind it is a replacement. It's the other things that we care about. It's the other things we put on the shelf with God. It's the other things our hearts go after and prioritizes instead of God. And, you know, when we think of idols, we think of these people in this time. It's easy to say, man, what a weird culture where they would have these little carved figurines and stuff. But, you know, what we can need to remember when we look at that is there are people like us who had similar needs and similar desires. They wanted security. They wanted safety. They wanted prosperity. They wanted entertainment, they wanted enjoyment, they wanted the fullness of life. And these idols were offering that. And that's why they went after other gods and served them. It's because they were tempted to believe in their promises instead of God's. And when we forget, are we also not tempted to believe the world's promises instead of God's? Do we follow after the things and the entertainments and the fulfillments and the promises of a full and happy life that the world offers, instead of how God calls us into community with his people and to live for him? That's the danger of forgetfulness. So we need to repent of our idols. And finally, we need to repent for thinking we're owed grace. And you'll notice in the last verse here, it says, like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, if we don't obey God, if we reject him, if we completely forget him and we leave and we follow after idols, he leads with like the nations. You know, we like to think that we're special. You know, maybe you've been going to a church for a long time. Maybe it's comfortable in church. Maybe we have a familiarity around the things of Jesus. But the thing is, that's no credit to you. What the Lord looks at is, have you put your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ for all your righteousness? Have you trusted him to take your sins? Do you know that he died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe in that? Do you follow him as your Lord and Savior then? Because he conquered those sins and he is alive and he is leading his church. So do you follow him? That's the thing. Association with the people of God. Man, what a blessing. There's so much grace that comes from that. But that doesn't save you. And it wouldn't save Israel. If they rejected God and did not follow him, he says, listen, it's just like any other nation for you guys. But boy, we like to put ourselves on a pedestal. Man, we're the church. Man, we got to figure, we're the moral people. These heathens over here, check out the sign in their lawn, man. We need to repent for thinking we're owed grace. And we need to remember that it's Christ that is all our righteousness. And if for you this morning that is something that you need to remember, or you're hearing for the first time and maybe you're thinking of some idols that you've been following instead of Christ. Maybe you're thinking that this is the first time that you've really thought about leading and having to follow the Lord's lead in your life. We're going to have another song here from Jonathan. He's going to come up. And after that, there's going to be some shepherds up front. And if you need to give your life to the Lord, I urge you, if there's something that the Lord has put on your heart to repent of, I would offer you, come to them, and they will pray for you. They can talk to you about how to receive the gospel, how to walk with the Lord. So let's just pray real quick before we move on to this song and ask for the Lord to guide us in this way. Lord, we thank you so much for this text. We thank you for everyone who has come and served this morning out of love for you. And I just pray that you would work through this in people's hearts. And Lord, I just pray that for anyone here that doesn't know you, that they would just run to the cross and find hope and help in you. Thank you for your grace. Amen.